So, as hopefully everyone can see today, it is glorious in Oxford. And we foresaw this, and we have invited Keith Barnes from the Oxford School of Photography in to give us some tips on summer photos. Once the sun comes out, everyone feels like snapping maybe a little bit more than in winter. The Oxford School of Photography has been based in Oxford for 31 years, so if you haven't come across it yet, it's about time. And so, Keith, what kind of top tips have you got for us today?
Well, one of the advantages of digital photography, and of course everybody now has digital cameras, although some people still use film cameras, which is interesting, and you know, it's nice to see that some people are still carrying on with that. But with digital cameras, we can take pictures almost under any conditions. But there are a few things about digital cameras that I find a little bit irritating. One is that they always want you to use the most auto mode. People that make these cameras think that we are too stupid to be able to do anything other than use the fully automatic modes.
Not every situation is automatic. Life isn't automatic.
Well, life is certainly not automatic. And getting out of using the fully automatic mode allows you to make pictures which are more creative and more your own ideas rather than just the ideas that the camera wants you to take. So one thing I would say is that pretty much every single camera offers different modes, which are still pretty automatic in as much that you don't have to think about what you're doing so much, but the camera has these little programs which will help you to take better pictures in certain circumstances. So for example, pretty much every camera has a portrait mode. In the portrait mode, what the camera's trying to do is to generate an image which uses something that's called shallow depth of field. Shallow depth of field is where the thing that you photograph, or the thing you focused on, your subject, is in focus, but the background and the foreground are out of focus.
Is that called bokeh?
I know, bokeh is something slightly different. I mean, it is within the same realm, but that's a slightly different function of shallow depth of field. Shallow depth of field is just this process of understanding that the thing that you focus on is a certain distance from the camera. The camera can be set in certain different ways that allow either just the subject or the subject and the background or the foreground to be in focus. So one thing I would recommend people doing when you're taking pictures of people, when you're doing portraits of individual family, friends, whatever it is you're doing, think about using the portrait mode. And actually, because of the way the camera's working, you could use this for anything. It doesn't have to just be on a person, even though it's a portrait. So you may have a really attractive flower in your garden that you'd like to photograph, and you could try using the portrait mode, focusing on the flower, allowing the background to go out of focus, and so it stands out more. One of the things that you have to be sort of slightly careful of when you're doing this is you want to try and get some distance between the thing that you're focusing on, the subject, and the background. Mm-hmm. So if your nearest and dearest is standing against a wall and that wall has plugs or light switches behind them, you think, I'll use the portrait mode. That will put the plugs and switches out of focus. It's probably not going to work. You might need to just ask them to step a few feet forward just to be able to get that distance to enable the camera to use this thing called shallow depth of field. It's definitely a way of improving your pictures. It doesn't require too much of you. It's not too demanding. And it will give you an opportunity to see how your camera can do things better. Another setting that your camera have will be something, or almost certainly will have, is something called the landscape mode, which rather bizarrely is the complete opposite of the portrait mode. So in the landscape mode, what the camera's trying to do is to put everything in focus. Because traditionally, landscape photography was taken in that way. That was the way people wanted to see landscapes. So when you're photographing landscapes, it doesn't have to be huge landscapes. It could be just the landscape of your garden. You might want to be able to have flowers in the foreground, stretching to the back of the garden. You might want to have all of that in focus. Using the landscape mode might help you to do that. This is, again, using depth of field. This thing, depth of field, is so fundamental to the way photography works that it's important to just be able to manipulate it a little bit. Just thinking about using portrait mode for shallow depth of field and landscape mode for great depth of field will help. So other ways that you could, for example, use landscape mode, you might this weekend have a family party going on. You might have a huge family. You might want to organise it so that you have everybody in the picture in focus. Putting your camera into the landscape mode will help with that significantly. So the people on the first row, assuming you've organised your family on a row of steps, maybe you take them down to the Clarendon building in Broad Street or something like that, and you shoo away all the foreign students that are sitting eating their lunch there. You organise your huge family. On the foreground, you maybe have the most important people, and then going all the way to the back, you have your spotty cousin Kevin, who doesn't really want to be in the picture, but you'd still like him to be sharp, stick the camera on landscape mode, and that will help to achieve that. But there's all sorts of things that the camera is doing when you're making these settings, but for most people, most of the time, that actually isn't going to be the greatest issue. But getting everything in focus or getting less in focus is something that would be really useful. Another one thing that I would really recommend people starting to use if they have an option, and this is something called the night portrait mode. It's usually identified either on the mode dial, which is often on the top of the camera, or within the scene settings, as a figure with a star behind them. Sometimes their background is black, sometimes the background's white, but basically a figure with a star behind. And this is designed to try and enable you to take pictures where you have to use flash, so it's sort of nighttime or dusk, but there is some level of illumination behind the subject. Now that illumination could be, for example, a nice sunset, or it could be lights reflecting from water, or lights on a building behind. Anything where there is some level of illumination behind the subject, but you still need to use flash to be able to make the subject stand out. Now, typically in the fully automatic mode, which is what I'm trying to get you to get away from, what would happen is the camera flash would fire, it would illuminate the subject, but then the background would be completely black. Mm. It would be as if they're standing in a cave. This particular setting helps the camera to gather in the light behind to assimilate that and build that into the image. So you no longer just have a subject against a very dark background. You'll have your subject, which is illuminated by the flash, but the background comes in and will give much more feeling of the place, the presence, the thing itself. In fact, it will make the picture look like what you are seeing rather than what the camera wants to generate. So three things I would really recommend. Start using the portrait mode for shallow depth of field. Start using the landscape mode for great depth of field. And when you're shooting pictures at dusk or where you've got illumination behind the subject, then use the night portrait mode. Really good things to use.
Fantastic. I feel like I've learned a lot already.
Excellent.
What tips can you give us maybe on composition and how to kind of stage a picture?
Now, I had somebody actually yesterday ask me whether people naturally have a talent, a good eye, or whether it's something you can be learned, and I definitely think it's something that you can learn. there are of course those people who are naturally talented. They see the world in a very graphic and design based way, but for most people that isn't perhaps the way they see things, and there are a few very, very simple things that you can do to help to improve your pictures. Most photographs that you see that are professionally made, they very often will use something called the rule of thirds. This goes back to the far distant past, about the 13th, 12th century,
wow,
from a guy called Leonardo da Pisa, who discovered what we now know as being the Fibonacci numbers. In fact, he's known as Fibonacci. Fibonacci numbers are a sequence of numbers which, when plotted, generate something called the golden mean. Well, we as photographers have sort of corrupted that to a certain extent into something that we call the rule of thirds. Really simple thing to do. If you're looking through a viewfinder, or if you're having to compose your picture on the monitor on the back of the camera, imagine that you've got a noughts and crosses board. And instead of putting your subject slap bang in the middle, try and put them on one of the lines that would exist. In fact, try and put the really important thing. So if it's a portrait of somebody, try and get their eyes or their face to be on one of the cross sections. So you're just moving the subject to one side or the other. If it's a landscape, have a high horizon or a low horizon. So just think about that idea of noughts and crosses and put your subject in on those areas. It somehow makes your pictures look so much better. Tonight, when you're watching the news on the TV, you'll notice that very often your TV screen, the newscaster, will be sitting on one side, normally on the right-hand side, and there'll seem to be quite a large space, empty space. In photographic terms, we call that negative space. Negative makes it sound as if it's something bad, but actually adds an awful lot of interest to the picture. So start thinking about using the rule of thirds as a means of composing your pictures. Another thing that you can do, particularly useful with people, is to think about using frames. Now, a frame could be that you stand somebody in a doorway, or you have a window frame around them, but a frame doesn't have to be something that's necessarily physical. It could easily be, as it were, a pool of light where you put somebody, or it could be a colour band, so you could have somebody standing in a particular area where there's a particular colour. So what you're doing is you're trying to restrict the space in which the main subject is standing, so the eye is directed towards that. So the use of frames is a really useful thing to do. And finally, when we're composing, and these are really simple compositional devices, when we're composing we can think about using lines to direct the eye. The eye needs to move around the picture, and we have different sorts of lines. So a diagonal line seems to imply sort of a dynamic movement. So if you want to show sort of dynamic movement, swift movement, think about using a diagonal for your subject. If, however, you want to create an image that has stillness or calmness, think about using lines which are horizontal or vertical, so it gives a sense of stasis, of immovability. And if you want to create an image that perhaps has some sense of mystery or even sensuality, think about using curved lines. The nice thing about curved lines is you don't see the end of the line. It can weave or meander through your picture. Because you don't quite know where the end is, because you can't see where it ends, it gives a sense of more mystery or uncertainty. So three very simple compositional devices. Think about using the rule of thirds, use frames, use lines. Definitely will help you.
Fantastic. And finally, Keith, if you could just tell us a bit more about the Oxford School of Photography and the courses and work that you do there.
Okay, so the Oxford School of Photography has really been in existence, as you said at the start, since about 1982. We started out as a darkroom and studio hire centre, and through the years, as photography has evolved, so have we, such that now the courses that we run are no longer darkroom based, they're all digital. We still believe that understanding how to use a camera is hugely important. Don't think you can really approach photography in any sort of serious way unless you understand how to use your camera. So we break our courses down into easy to do sections. So we have a 4-week or a 1-day course with understanding your digital SLR. So it's for those people who've got the slightly larger cameras called SLR cameras. So if anybody needs a bit of tuition, they can give us a call. Best thing to do is go and have a look at our website, oxfordschoolofphotography.co.uk. But once people have learned how to use their cameras, we then have a whole range of other courses which cover different subject areas. So we actually have a course based on composition. Really yeah. Great course, really helps people to understand how they can compose their pictures better so that their pictures take on more creative or more artistic way. And then we have courses which are more subject based. So we've got travel photography course, we've got a portrait photography course, we have a course on black and white photography. We also have slightly more technical software based courses. So we have a course called Lightroom. Lightroom's a piece of software that people who are very interested in photography will often use. Fantastic piece of software. We also have a Photoshop course, which is associated to the Lightroom course, so they sort of dovetail, fit together. So we have a wide range of different courses that cover from the very basics of how do you use your camera properly through to things which are much more advanced for anybody who wants to become better at photography, is to start looking at the works of other photographers
and learn from them.
Super.
Thank you very much, Keith. I feel like I've learnt from you, and now I'm going to learn from others. Thank you for coming in.
You're very welcome. Thanks a lot.